Hello, everyone. Happy Sabbath. We're so glad you can join us. So as you noticed, there's two of us up here today because we're going to be sharing a sermon together. Our pastor, who is usually here, is up north in San Jose, and some of our members are also up there. So we have a smaller group today, but it's always a good day to praise God and to give glory to his name. Amen. So we're excited to share this message with you. Maybe you can get them on the mic.
Yeah, I'll get it. Here you go.
So before we do that, I just wanted to welcome some guests that we have in the crowd, Fernando and Antonia. Is that your name? Yes. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for coming.
So our message today is entitled, Worse Than Leprosy. That's what we'll be sharing about. And before we get started, can we just have another word of prayer? Just a quick one. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, Lord, we just want to give you praise today for being alive. And God, we give you thanks also because you're such a great God. Lord, thank you for the privilege to come here to worship together. And we just ask that you would guide our lips this morning as we share from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so how this stemmed to be, it's a little different. We're both sharing a message together. And it stemmed from our Bible studies that we've been having together. I just think it's so cool that when we have Bible studies together, we find some things from the Bible that, like, I would have never found out on my own. And it's cool to bounce, like, ideas off of each other and as we study together. So I just challenge you, like, you know, whether it's with your brother you have and you're living with, or sister, or your parents or your friends, or just anybody, have Bible studies with them, because you never know the gems of truth that you'll find if you just, you know, do it alone.
Right, and to encourage us to have our daily devotionals and to have Bible studies, we're going to share a little bit about our own Bible studies and just keeping this casual and interactive. If we cut each other off, it's not because we're like speaking over each other. This is how Bible studies happen. They're very interactive, and we just want to share our thoughts.
Cool. Right.
So I have a question for you. If I had you guess what increases hopefulness and health, increases your sleep quality, increases your self-esteem, increases your helpfulness and sympathy, and increases resilience, what do you think that this magical thing is?
Put on your thinking caps. Think about it. Any guesses? Money? No, not money.
Not money. Sometimes money decreases sleep quality.
Anything on your mind, just throw it out.
Prayer, okay. Could be. That's true.
Medication, no, right?
Okay, it's actually thankfulness, right? Thankfulness, many people throughout the years have done plenty of research on the health benefits of thankfulness, as well as other benefits as well. And these are all benefits to being thankful. They've done research on people who make lists of things that they're thankful for in the beginning of the day or at the end of the day. And they come out having better sleep, feeling better about themselves, right? They did a research on Vietnam veterans, and they noticed that people who came back from war who were more thankful actually suffered less from post-traumatic stress. Even the biology that we have, the physiology, people reported that they had less pain and less aches when they were more thankful. So it actually changes the mechanisms of your body, which is pretty awesome for thankfulness.
I think I need an extra dose of thankfulness today. You know, I'm thankful to be up here sharing with you guys and sharing alongside with Kirsty.
Right. So a message about thankfulness can be found in Luke chapter 17. Let's all flip there to Luke chapter 17. And if you don't have Bibles, they're in the pews in the front of you. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So Luke is the third book in the New Testament.
Chapter 17. We'll be flipping there. Chapter 17, verse 11. And then say amen when you get there, so we know. Thank you.
Awesome. So just to set some context, Jesus at this time in his ministry is very popular already. People know that there's this man who claims to be the Son of God who can heal people. So let's see what happens at this point in Jesus' ministry.
Okay, I'm going to take a couple of verses and then Chrissy will. Reading in chapter 17, verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off.
And they lifted up their eyes, their voices, and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14, so when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed.
And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan.
Verse 17, so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any who returned? Were there not found any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?
And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Wow. What a compact story with a lot of points, huh? So we're going to go back to each verse and look at the details in them, because I think there's a lot God has to tell us. Mm-hmm. Looking at verse 11, we see Jesus, he's traveling and he's journeying through to Jerusalem, and we see he passes through a border between Samaria and Galilee. You see the picture right there, the little blue line. Below is Samaria and above is Galilee. And lower down where Samaria is, you see where Jerusalem is, and you just see the path where Jesus is going.
Right. And whenever we have Bible studies with each other, we have to ask, why does the Bible mention certain things and certain details? In this example, it's important to note that there is animosity between Samaria and the Jews in Galilee. These people didn't like each other, even though they were in the same country, which is not different than in the United States today or in any country. There's always contentions between groups of people. So the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. They thought that they were lower than them. They thought that they were unworthy and just a half-breed type of people. So there's definitely contention there, and that's setting the scene for what's going to be happening next.
And you know how they even reacted to Jesus tells a lot, too. There's different times in Scripture where we find out that they, both the Samaritans and the Jews, wanted to throw Jesus off a cliff. So you can just feel that social tension. And how Jesus interacts in this area, what we're about to read, is going to say a lot. It's going to send a lot of ripples across these two nations.
Right. So let's look at verse 12. It says that when he went to a certain village, he met 10 men who were lepers. And we're introduced to the main characters in verse 12. There are 10 lepers. Now, who are lepers, you may ask? Lepers are people who have leprosy. And leprosy is a disease that just mutilates your body. And at this time, people thought that lepers were unclean. They're untouchable. They're the outcasts of society. Literally, they were cast out of society. They lived actually on the outskirts of the cities, where the city dumps are, where they could scour for food, and they were just rejected.
Mm-hmm. And if we can have the next slide, a little bit more about leprosy. I'm going to get a little nerdy on you because I like biology a lot. Leprosy is also known as Mycobacterium leprae. That's the biological name for it. It's a very long-term disease. Once you had it, and back then they didn't have a lot of medication to soothe you for it, you would die having it all the way till the end. It affects outside your skin mainly, the externals, and then also inside through your peripheral nerves. So you know diabetics, right? When they have diabetes, they lose a lot of the senses as the disease progresses. And the same thing with leprosy. You lose a sensation in your extremities, your hands, your feet. And so the other day, I was walking in my room and I stubbed my toe on like the foot of the bed, and it hurt so much. I was like hobbling up and down. And for these certain people, though, when they would bump their feet against something, they wouldn't feel it. And it would get worse, and before they notice it, right, it would get infected, and they would end up losing those types of limbs.
Right, and the Bible, so this is a disease that you can't cover up. It's not like you can put a jacket on and just, like, pretend that you didn't have this disease. It's a disease that you had to announce to everybody that you had leprosy. And it also symbolized in the Bible sin, because people, again, thought that, oh, you sinned, that's why you had this disease. So it was a very big deal that you had leprosy. Mm-hmm. So that explains why, if we look back in verse 12, let's look there. It says, or I'm sorry, in verse 13, it says that the lepers lifted up their voices and said to Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And in verse, and at the end of verse 12, you notice that did they stand close to Jesus or from a distance? They stood at a distance,
yeah,
exactly.
At a distance.
This was based on Levitical law because these people couldn't make other people contagious, right? And also they didn't feel clean.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever felt like you couldn't come close to Jesus? Like you were unclean or far away and, you know, there's things in your lives that you life that you want to hide that, you know, you just feel like you can't bring to Jesus? These lepers didn't stop their sinful natures from, their sinful natures didn't stop them from reaching out to Jesus. Instead, let's see what they do. But
right. They, you know, they came as close as they could to Jesus, and they shouted out, you know, with, and you just sense their desire for it. Before I hop more into this point, we did an experiment without you guys knowing today. With leprosy, it's a contagious type of disease, and it would spread through like droplets that come out of your mouth or, you know, your respirations. And so, we have everyone stand up. We're not going to give you leprosy, okay? Just stand up. Everyone just stand up. And can you stick out your hands like this? And then look at your hands now. You notice anything on your hands? No, nobody? Did it all fall off? So this morning, we were all greeting you, right? Some of us put glitter on our hands. I see someone picking it off over there. For those who have glitter on their hands, continue to stand up. And then those who don't, please sit down. Just any little speck of glitter. Okay, that's a lot more. If you had some, please continue standing.
Let's stare at the people who got glitter on their
hands.
Ooh,
look at they have glitter. So that's how leprosy was like. It was basically you can sit down. It's basically your identity. People knew you had that type of disease because you had to call it out. And it, like we said, we can imagine how embarrassing it may have been for a lot of people who had it.
Right. So you felt an inch of how embarrassing that must have been. Okay. So let's move on to verse 14. Let's see what Jesus does when these people ask him, can you have mercy on us? Can you heal us? Verse 14, it says that when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. We see in the Bible that Jesus heals people in many different ways. Can you think of some examples? He speaks to them and they are healed. He touches them and they are healed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he even doesn't really meet that person and he can just speak it and that person is healed. And it's interesting that we can note in this example right here, Jesus says, go to the priests, go to the church, the synagogues, and there you will be healed.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that Jesus doesn't heal them right then and there. He asks them to go, and as they are going, they are healed.
He doesn't even say it directly. He doesn't say, okay, if you go to the priest, then you will be healed. He just says, go to the priest. And, you know, the person who wrote this account, Luke, he was actually a physician as well. And knowing him, if you read throughout this this book, you see he's very detailed in a lot of things. But here in verse 14, if we read it again, it says, Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. It's so simple. He just says, go, and they went, and they were cleansed. That's how the chronological order goes. And I find that kind of boggling because it's amazing how that's how faith should be, right? When Jesus calls you to do something, just simply obey it. Just like these 10 lepers, when they simply obeyed the words of Jesus, they were cleansed. That's the sure result. And knowing that God wants, when we know that God wants our best interest and has our best interest in mind, that's what motivates us to just simply go, whatever he calls us to do.
Right. And oftentimes, before we go, we decide, okay, God, I'm going to go, I'm going to do this, even though I know that you've asked me to do it. But first, can you heal me? Can you give me a sign? But in this way, Jesus is reversing that and saying, why don't you go first and I will provide the way as you go,
mm-hmm.
right? So let's see in verse 14 what happens. No, in verse 15, what happens next? So they all get cleansed. And then in verse 15, it says that one of the lepers came back and he, seeing that he was healed, returned and said with a loud voice, glorified God. So what happened to the rest of the lepers? There were 10 of them in the beginning, right? How many of them are left now? One of them is left now, and nine of them went, right? Nine of them were cleansed, and then they just, whoop, had amnesia. They just forgot what happened.
Mm. I think how this leper came back is so interesting. How, what kind of voice did he come back with? You guys want to read it again? Let's look at verse 15 again. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a soft whisper and glorified God. He shouted, right? It wasn't something very soft. It was loud. Just in the same way, at the beginning, when they were calling out to Jesus, was it with a whisper as well? No, right? They called out with a very loud voice. And I think that's very powerful. In the beginning, in unison, they called out to Jesus because they desired to be cleansed. And then now we have one coming back, and with a loud voice, he is praising God. It reminds me of our Christian experience. When you guys were baptized, when you guys first accepted God into your life, how excited were you? Like this, right? Just very quiet. No, right? You were excited. We were excited when we first had Jesus and started a relationship with him. But like these lepers, the nine who left, they didn't come back. But this one leper came back with a loud voice. And I think throughout our Christian experience, sometimes we're excited at the beginning and then we start dwindling down. And, you know, sometimes we just keep our faith to ourselves. And we see an example here that we can avoid.
Mm-hmm. And these people didn't come back to Jesus praising him. Only one person did. And before we cast judgment on these people and go like, how did they forget that they just got healed from a terrible disease? How often do we forget when Jesus heals us of things, when he helps us through things, and then the next minute we forget, right? How often have we asked, God, if you can just take me through this right now, I'm really hurting, or I really need your help on that exam, or I hate this job right now, can you get me to another job? And as soon as he blesses us, we forget, and we don't give him glory.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a closer look at what it means when the man in verse 15 says, he saw that he was healed and he returned. So in our English dictionary, in our English language, it's very easy to miss certain points and minute details that we would not get, that we would get if it was in the Greek. So it says that as the lepers went to the synagogues, to the priests, they were cleansed. And then it says that one of them saw that he was healed and then he returned. And then Jesus asks, weren't 10 people cleansed? And then at the end, Jesus declares, go your way, you have been made well. So, judging from the normal English, it seems the same, right? Cleansed, healed, well, they're all synonymous. But are they?
When we look closely at the, I think it was either the Greek or the Hebrew. Don't quote me, I'm not language major as some of our friends are. But when we looked at it specifically, we see the word cleanse. It means to cleanse, you know, clean the outside. And I think what this was referring to was more of the physical nature of the disease itself, to be cleansed of the outside. And then when it says he was healed, the word healed means more of like a deeper type of healing. And it hits more of like the spirituality of one. And then lastly, the part where it says, has made you well. I think this is a point where like it breaches even more than just the physical, more than just the spiritual, but it's salvation at its best, you know, the purest form.
Right. Okay. Let's go to verse 16. And the leper fell down and on his face, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So if you had to guess, at looking at this scripture verse, what verse it seems to be like, why did you just mention that? Which part of this verse? Yes, anybody? It's the Samaritan, exactly.
Yes.
It's kind of like if I was telling Hung, I had a really good day yesterday. I went to the park, and then at the park there were some nice trees, and then da-da-da-da, and then I tell him about Mars, the planet Mars. Like, it just comes out of nowhere. Just like in this mm-hmm. verse right here, it says that, and he was a Samaritan. So why was it important that Luke had to mention, oh, by the way, the leper who got healed, he was a Samaritan? What does that make the nine other people who were not healed?
Really, really easy. No trick question here.
There were Samaritans and
non-Samaritans, right?
Non-Samaritans, probably Jews, which means that the people who were healed were Jews, and they went to the temple, they got cleansed, and they just forgot about Jesus.
I think what's also really important to note is that Samaritans throughout the Bible, we see that they're oftentimes coming to God and glorifying Him. But we also see a trend with the Jews as well. They're oftentimes the people who reject them. They were the people whom God had chose. They're supposed to be from the line of God, but they ended up rejecting Him and crucifying Him on the cross.
Mm-hmm. So how does that relate to us today? Who are the modern day Jews? Who are the modern day Samaritans? Right, the modern day Jews would be considered Christians. It would be Adventists. Oftentimes, we're the ones who are not thankful to God. It's usually the people outside who are more thankful, who accept God's truth more easily.
Mm-hmm. Let's read verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9?" When we read here, we have this type of anticipation that Jesus was expecting all of them to come back, not just one, but all of them. And we see that this foreigner, of all people, he came back and he praised God, while the other 9 just went on their merry way. Can you imagine? Imagine with me that you've been isolated all by yourself for such a long time, and now all you have to do is just go see someone and they'll give you a piece of paper to tell everyone that you are clean. You can be back in society. And more than the 9, this one person, the Samaritan, this leper who was cleansed, he chose to turn around instead of going right for that piece of paper so he can be welcomed back into society. He came to Jesus and he came exactly to Jesus.
To show that he was thankful. So we just want to share this quote with you really quickly. It says, "The gospel about the 10 lepers is about how the 9 were healed of their leprosy and then caught, so to speak, an even worse leprosy, their ingratitude and unthankfulness. Herein lies the difference between sickness of the body and sickness of the spirit." Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we ask God to deliver us from the sickness of the body. God, deliver me from this financial crisis that I'm in. God, deliver me from this bad relationship that I'm in. God, deliver me from this test or this exam, right? But God cares more about healing the sickness of our spirit. He cares more about our hearts. He knows that, for those of you who are parents, you know that if you were able to give your child everything that they wanted, that wouldn't really help their heart. That wouldn't teach them discipline or gratefulness. So God cares about the sickness of our spirit. Mm-hmm. So I have a question for you. Does anybody know what this is? Oh, wait, I just labeled it right there. It's the Blue Moon Diamond. It's the Blue Moon Diamond. It was sold in 2015 or 11. I forgot what the news article said. Can anybody guess how much it was sold for? If you had to guess. 20 million, okay.
Getting close, warm.
10 million, okay. I feel like I'm running an auction up here. 20 million, 10. Anybody else? Okay. It was $48 million. It was bought by a billionaire in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And fun fact is, 2 days before, he had bought a pink diamond for $27 million. But I guess in light of this one, this is twice as much. $48 million. It broke records as the most expensive jewel ever sold during that time in an auction. Imagine getting one of these for your engagement ring, people who have already been engaged, right? It's a lot. But guess who he bought this for?
Any guesses? His
girlfriend? No. Maybe.
Sounds like a good guess. Anyone else?
His daughter. Yes, ooh. It is his daughter. And do you know how old his daughter is? 10, 15? Close. She was 7 years old. She was 7 years old. So the headline actually read in the Guardian News, it says, "Billionaire buys 7-year-old daughter Blue Moon Diamond for a record of $48 million. He named this Blue Moon Diamond after her. Her name was Josephine. And so we laugh at that. Why do we laugh when we found out how old she is? Because she is what? She's too young. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why do you think? Why would we say she's too young for a Blue Moon Diamond? She doesn't know how to cherish it.
She doesn't have that sense of appreciation. Do you think she'll put it in like this really nice glass box and admire it in her room, or do you think she'll toss it with the rest of her toys?
Yeah, she's like, 1 week she's into it, next week it's Barbie, right? So she doesn't appreciate the blue moon diamond. It makes us think about what we don't appreciate when Jesus died for us on the cross, when he heals us of things. And that's worth more than $48 million or any amount you could put onto it. Mm-hmm. We don't appreciate what God does. We're like that seven-year-old who just gets a diamond, it looks pretty, and then we forget about it. In this book called Desire of Ages, which
is it's a very powerful quote that we came across for this message. I'll read it for you guys. It says, "Our hearts are unimpressed, given all the riches of heaven to redeem them, and yet they are unmindful of his great love. By their ingratitude, they close their hearts against the grace of God." Can you imagine like that seven-year-old receiving this such a valuable thing, and yet, you know, you can't really understand the depths of the love behind it? I want us to read verse 19, just to close up. Verse 19, and it says, "And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" What made him well, the Samaritan? His faith made him well. I think it was when he recognized that he was cleansed. That was when he was truly healed. You know, not just the physical sense, but the spiritual sense too. When he came back to Jesus. And in closing, you know, if you guys don't remember anything we talked about today, just consider this one point. It's interesting how Jesus called the Samaritan to rise and go. That same type of action the other nine took, but on their own authority. They were all cleansed, right? Right? Weren't they all cleansed? They're all cleansed. However, one was transformed. Nine went by their own will and walked to the drum of to the beat of their own drum, so to speak. But one came to Jesus for his will and his marching orders. And so, just in closing, we want to challenge you guys. We don't know where you're at in your walk with God. We don't know if you're having a powerful devotional life, or you know, if you just feel like in areas it's lacking. But we can tell you that from what we learned, we like to just find a single point in our study and make it practical. And that is having thankfulness towards God. If you feel like you're far away from God, or you feel like you're close to him, to draw even more close to him is to have thankfulness and to thank God for what he's going to do and what he's doing right now. And I think that's one of the powerful points that we had on our hearts when we were studying this message. And like the Samaritan, when he recognized and he had that attitude of gratitude, that's when he was transformed and truly changed. I don't know if you have any other words to say.
We just wanted to encourage you again, read your Bible. We didn't go to seminary or anything like that, but God can reveal to you his truth in your word personally, and we hope that you are encouraged to study your Bible more.
Okay, let's close with prayer, yeah? Let's bow our heads.
Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for giving us life today, Lord. There were so many things that could have happened in getting here, but we praise you because you've given us the breath of life, and you've given us purpose in life, Lord. There is nobody here that is here by accident. And Lord, because we are precious in your sight, we know that you will take care of us, Lord, and we thank you so much for sending your only son to die for us. God, you know the pains that people are going through. You know the anxiety that we have. And we just pray that you would allow us to cast them at your feet, Lord. And we pray that in the name of Jesus, you can heal us of all of our aches and pains, Lord, and our spiritual healings as well. That